Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Pulling out all its hair, sure as no one feels like they belong. There ain't no right way to do wrong.
From newsounds.org, time for another remote edition of Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. Since his debut LP in 2004, Langhorne Slim has been a reliable source of rootsy goodness. The sounds of folk, blues, country, early rock and roll all come together in his songs. But his new album, Strawberry Mansion, deals with very contemporary subjects. Made against the backdrop of the pandemic and the tornado that struck his East Nashville neighborhood, it is an album that deals with mental health issues like anxiety and addiction. It's also upbeat, brassy at times, with streaks of dry wit, and Langhorne Slim is going to play a few songs from the record for us, plus one that's brand new. Here he is to start us off with the song called Panic Attack.
Speak to someone confidentially. Don't know just how I'm feeling, but I'm feeling feelings exponentially. Convoy started asking questions. Said, ma'am, I was hoping for advice. Said, I'm feeling lots of feelings. Not a single one of them feels nice. She said, do you ever think about dying? Said, no, but sometimes I lie. Do you wanna live? I said yes, but I feel like shit. And on a scale of 1 to 10, do you feel anxious? On a scale of 1 to 10, do you feel scared? Said I'm feeling lots of feelings. For some reason, I cut my hair. Sometimes the creature's calling. Sometimes the walls start caving in. Sometimes I feel isolated. Sometimes I feel so small. Sometimes I get irritated. And right now I feel it all. She spoke and I tried to listen. Said, son, there may be no cure, but I swear that life's worth living. It's the only thing worth living for. To my friends in the same position, I wish there was a cure, but I know that life's worth living. It's the only thing worth living for. Speak to someone confidentially. Don't know just how I'm feeling, but I'm feeling feelings exponentially.
That's Panic Attack, live performance from Langhorne Slim of a song that's on the new album called Strawberry Mansion. The last time Langhorne Slim was on Soundcheck would have been, oh boy, about 10 years or so ago. It seems like...
Was it something I said, John?
Yeah. It's great to have you back, in a manner of speaking, in the way that we do these things these days.
Yeah.
This song, Panic Attack, it has, both here and on the record, it has a very kind of upbeat, almost jolly sound. I mean, on the album, you have that twangy electric guitar and the woo-woo-woo vocals in the background. But it does seem to, you know, it's a difficult topic. It's about an actual panic attack, right?
It was written in the midst of an actual panic attack. And I don't know why a song. Yeah, I don't know. I've always loved songs that kind of juxtapose the saddest shit or some heart, or excuse my language.
Maybe that's why you haven't been back in 10 years or so.
Well, it's so informal when we're talking through the computer. It's not like when I'm in the studio and I know, you know, I got to behave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's not a problem. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't a conscious decision or anything like that. But just in thinking about it now, I guess I do love music that has sort of a joyous, upbeat kind of vibe that is, you know, talking about, you know, heartbreak or something along those lines. But yeah, that song was just born out of, you know, it was in the first month or something of the quarantine. And it was just a tough day. No particular reason, but it just one of these things hit and laid me out. And I was laying on the couch, trying not to lose my mind entirely, and started to hear the words to the song and the melody. And it's really just kind of the story of the little journey that I've been on.
There's obviously this past year has not been kind to a lot of people. Mm. We've seen a huge uptake in anxiety, depression, not even opioid, but just like all kinds of prescription drug addiction and abuse. And so, you know, all of the kind of the subject matter, or I won't even call it subject matter. A lot of it is subtext to this album, because I don't want to give people the idea that it's this dour downer of a record, when in fact it is just what you said. A lot of it is really uplifting and upbeat. And
well, I don't know any better way to exercise the demons. It's just when that feeling hits, and hopefully you're in a place where you can kind of be open enough to reach out and grab it, and then it becomes a song. So I don't know how these things work. I'm just grateful for when they do.
Were they not working for a while? I mean, as you were struggling with anxiety and depression, did the well dry up?
Yes, indeed. The well dried up. I mean, you had mentioned prescription, medication troubles in our land. And that was a big trouble for me. I quit drinking and drugs about 7.5 years ago now. You know, when I did it on my own, and I didn't connect to any kind of community that has lived, you know, that gets these sorts of things, and a community that can kind of encourage and support one another.
Right.
And I was sort of flying by the seat of my pants. I didn't realize that was the case. I didn't realize I was perhaps being stubborn, or if that's ego, or I don't really know. But I was able to cut that stuff out of my life out of necessity some years ago. But life does what life does, as we all know. And I had some, just the stuff that everybody goes through, some relationship stuff. It became a series of things in a toxic web that I wasn't equipped to untangle. And I just didn't know what to do. And I did something that for me, I knew wasn't the move, but I went to a bearded professional. And I sat down on his couch, and this wasn't a guy who I had, you know, frequently sat down with. And, you know, I paid the money for the hour. Mm-hmm. And I expressed that I had dealt with, you know, anxiety and some things that were going on. And he rattled off five or six or seven types of medication. And I was familiar with some of these medications. So I picked the one that I had used recreationally, you know, years before. And that quickly became an issue. I quickly became dependent on it. You can't just, it's not advised with any of that stuff, but particularly, benzos, which is what I was on, you could die if you just stopped taking that cold turkey. And so it freaked me out, and it was a long journey to get off of it for me. And a reminder, I'm never going to take anything a little bit in that realm, whether it be a drink or a smoke or a this or a that. It's just not in the cards for me. And it took a lot of experimentation and a lot of having to prove it to myself to really get the message. I get emotional thinking about it because I don't know how many lives you get, but I've tempted the fates, and that broke me open in a way that these songs just started to reveal themselves near daily for a while. Mm. A wave came in and invited me to ride it, and I still am kind of in awe of that. It was an immense gift to be sort of dropped upon me during this time.
You know, it's interesting when you say, you know, that you've sort of learned something about yourself, that you can't just, you know, have a taste of this or that, you know, that it's going to become a problem.
Yeah.
Some time ago, you know, we had Alice Cooper on the show, whose struggles with alcohol and substance abuse, you know, earlier in his career are the stuff of legend, yeah. You know. Alice Cooper plays golf relentlessly, yep. And at a very, very high level. And he was very clear about it. He said, you know, I have an addictive personality and I am channeling it into this activity, and it takes care of that for yep. me. So he's found, and you know, it may have taken him years to find that. I'm wondering, songwriting is what you do, but is there another channel that you've been able to find that, you know, can be that sort of pressure release valve that Alice Cooper found in golf?
You're so good at this. It's a really great question. And I was just talking to a friend about that. It's wild to see. Yeah, people that are, you know, that are recovering, you know, junkies 2 years later after getting sober are, you know, long distance endurance, whatever you call it, runners.
Right.
I don't do it obsessively, but I've been enjoying drawing and painting a bit. What I've been doing mostly is, you know, spirituality is a term that people go all, you know, go in many different places with, but just sort of, I think a lot of it, John, has been to enjoy the process, man, enjoy the journey, not constantly be looking for what's down the road. And that is not super easy for me.
Yeah. We're speaking with Langhorne Slim, talking about the album Strawberry Mansion. And in a moment, I want to ask you about the title of the record. But first, I want to give people a chance to hear some more of these songs. Last One Standing is a song from the record that you're going to play for us. But before that, tell me what this song called Sugar Plum is, because it's not a song on any of your records.
That's just a little sweet tune that came to me. I took a road trip not long ago. I was just there for a night. I went to New Orleans and I saw a dear old friend, and melody popped into my head the hotel that night, and there was a song. It's just fun to play it.
So the songs are still coming then, even after the 20 or so that are on the record.
they're just coming, and I'm not asking too many questions. I just say thank you.
Very good. All right, let's hear two songs from Langhorne Slim. This new one called Sugar Plum, and then from the new record Strawberry Mansion, we'll hear Last One Standing.
Sugar plum, I would take you to New Orleans. Sweet New Orleans, here we come. And if I painted you a picture of a flower in a vase, would you keep it by your bedside? A flower for you when you wake. Thank you. and you were my sugar plum. I would love you forever. From your love I'd never run. And if I was your little sweetheart and you were my sugar plum, I would love you forever. From the day our love begun. Crept like a cat through the jungle, leapt through rings of fire, sat back in wonder, the spell that I'm under, all for the one I desire. Nothing matters anymore. The whole world is on fire. I prayed for rain, but it was all in vain, except for the one I desire. Maybe we should have sought something higher. Sat back in wonder, the spell that I'm under. There's one left, she's the one I desire.
That is Langhorne Slim and Last One Standing, live solo performance, also a new song called Sugar Plum, not on the new record. The album called Strawberry Mansion, Langhorne Slim with a full band on the record. But today, Langhorne Slim playing, what, that's a resonator guitar that you have, right? Is it a Dobro or is it something else?
That's a National guitar. I think from the 30s with a newer neck on it that was purchased here in East Nashville, Tennessee at Fanny's, which is my favorite guitar shop in the world. Worth mentioning, women run, operated, just the coolest selection of old weird guitars. And nice to be in a guitar that isn't just complete masculine energy.
Those guitars from the 30s, you know, they were, they had a very distinctive sound. Now, are you a guitar collector? I mean, do you have a room somewhere with dozens of guitars, some of which you never even play?
Yeah,
are you that guy?
Yeah, I'm that guy. There's a lot of them here. I play two or three mainly this last year. That have been granting a lot of music, and those are my go-tos. But yeah, I definitely I think I help Fanny's keep the lights on a little bit, just a little bit. I say that humbly and so grateful for those guys. But yeah, I love old guitars. I love old things in general, and that's definitely something that I collect. Yeah.
So, you talked before about, you know, this one journey that you've been on in the last kind of year or so, to kind of get to the point where the music has come back and you feel like you have some control in your life, and, or as much as any of us can have. But there's another journey, and that is you as a still youngish man playing this music that is rooted in much older American forms. I mean, the sounds of folk music and the blues and country and all of these older Americana sounds, which have always been part of the Langhorne Slim sound. How did you get started on that journey growing up in Langhorne, Pennsylvania?
Well, I was raised on show tunes and the Beatles, and you know, my parents split when I was two. My father loved classic rock. My mother was a great singer herself, loves Barbra Streisand and other things, but it was sort of a funny kind of mixture there. And then my grandparents, who were huge parts of my life, loved like old swing, you know, jazz and the crooners and the old show tunes and stuff like that. I guess where it went down was, and what I still do when I hear stuff that I love, it's just, you know, you hear Keep on Rocking in the Free World. Okay, that sticks out. The Kinks stuck out. Dylan stuck out. Otis Redding stuck out. And then, you know, looking into those guys, seeing the things that they loved, you know, Dylan, of course, that opens up Woody Guthrie. Then right. To high school sweetheart, Rebecca Horowitz, shout out to Becky, love you. Her dad loved all of this sort of folk music and had the Harry Smith Folk Anthology at the house. And I turned that thing on and I thought I was hearing music from another planet. And then got into Alan Lomax and started hearing those field recordings, and the same of just where the heck was this stuff recorded? When was it recorded? And that kind of just revealed this insatiable love for, I suppose, what is called roots music. But I consider mm-hmm. roots music, which is all my favorite, is the roots of every genre of music that we have. I love early punk music. I love a lot of early hip hop music, rhythm and blues, jazz, you know, the whole thing. So it's just at its rawest form, that primal animal dirtiness that, that really speaks to me. I was born a Jewish boy, and I listened to probably lately 80% old black gospel music, you know, singing about Jesus. So, Jesus inspired a lot of funky music, I'll tell you what. It's just that thing that connects to the soul that makes you want to shake it. I mean, that's the stuff that I love.
So where does the title of the new record, Strawberry Mansion, come from? There are no lyrics to the song Strawberry Mansion to give the game away. So what's the significance?
No, that song, that's just the color of the feeling that place gives to me. That's where my grandfather Sid and my grandfather Jack were born and raised. It's a neighborhood in Philadelphia. And when we were kids, my brother John and I, we would just hear tons of stories of from Jack and Sid of them growing up in this place and running around with their friends that had names like Whistle and Curly. Speaking of which, Larry Fiennes of the Three Stooges lived at Strawberry Mansion as did John Coltrane. So there's a lot of legends. Some are widely known. Others are my grandfather's. It just seemed like a different time and something I kind of romanticized in my mind. And then my relationship with my grandpa, it's not the first time that there's a nod or respect paid to my grandparents on a record. They were just two of the smartest guys that I've ever known. And I don't think that they made it out of high school. They had just beautiful hearts. They were tough dudes, but super sweet. And they just loved my brother and I with all their hearts. And so they've passed in physical form, but I feel them around a lot. And I don't know how that works, if it's them visiting me through the songs and that's kind of how that happens, or if it's just the love that I have for them in my heart comes out in song and it enables me to kind of pay homage to them. But I don't know, one way or another, they're there. And I don't know why the Strawberry Man, it was when I was playing that little instrumental, it occurred to me that Strawberry Mansion needed to be the title of the record.
Following on this theme that we seem to have come across of you on a journey, is there a journey from the kid who was raised Jewish to the grown-up who's now written Morning Prayer? I mean, what... Do you consider yourself a religious person, a spiritual person? What has that journey been like for you?
I heard somebody say the other day, and I say this with all due respect to all of the listeners, of course, but religion is for people that that don't want to go to hell. Spirituality is for people who have been there. I think there's some truth to that. I really thought that was good. I've always, John, I've always believed that there's more than I can see with my own two eyes. That song, Morning Prayer, was an attempt to sort of connect more to what that is. I wasn't raised in a way that we would, you know, pray, you know, when you wake up or before meals or anything like that. And yet I have felt energy, whatever one wants to call that, around me my entire life, and I've had some communication, particularly in music. It's the most divine, I think, the most divine language we have on this planet.
Amen.
Absolutely. And through connecting with people at concerts and playing the music, and the way music makes me feel when I'm alone in my house with the records that I play, or you know, my own music. So yeah, I suppose I do consider myself a spiritual cat. And at this point in my life, I'm really okay to not have a full understanding there. I feel comfortable with that. Really, what happened there was a dear friend of mine sent me a prayer that helps him, and I'd wake up in the morning and I would read it. But I don't know if that's ADD or what that is for me. But I was reading the words on the page, but they weren't coming to life. You know, I couldn't sort of get beyond them being words on a page. So I took that into song, and that helps me to add more dimensions to the feeling.
Hmm. So are some of these lyrics actually from that prayer your friend gave you?
They are. They are indeed. Some people out there probably recognize some of the words.
All right. Well, let's hear another live performance from Langhorne Slim. This is one of the songs on the new record called Strawberry Mansion. This is Morning Prayer.
God, give me the strength today. I offer myself to thee. From this bondage, set me free. Help me see the nature of my wrongs. In your grace I will be strong. This old world is full of fear and greed. Love, it is the door, faith's the key. From this bondage, set me free. And I offer myself to thee. God, with you I can be whole. if I surrender my control. Though I still wanna run the show, I'm trying to let go. This old world is full of fear and greed. Love, it is the door, and fate's the key. Nothing is deserved, no guarantee. Now for myself to thee. For my mother, father, and brother, for a world down on its knees, I pray for thee. For the restless and the wild, for the broken, tamed, defiled, for all of us who crave more than we need, I pray for thee. And I offer myself to thee.
That's Morning Prayer, live performance by Langhorne Slim, again playing his 1930s style resonator guitar there at home in Nashville, in East Nashville, right?
That's yes, sir.
Where you, which yep. is where that tornado was.
It hit various parts of Nashville. It came very close to the street I lived, just the next street down. It was almost entirely decimated by the tornado. So that was an incredibly wild thing. And then 2 weeks after, where the whole world is in the pandemic. So,
right.
What a ride it all is.
The tornado actually is referred to in one of the songs, at least on the record, on Mighty Soul.
Yeah.
I guess I'm wondering, you've written all these songs. How does it feel now when you play these songs? Does it take you back to the early days of the pandemic? Do you have some remove from them at this point? What does that feel like?
Yeah, I don't know, man. They're just sweet, warm gifts that came at a time that I, this record, regardless of, if people like the songs or not, of course, I hope that people do and they find some connection with them. They helped me to start to heal and to recognize myself again, perhaps in a deeper way than I have in my life. And so I think I'll have this record and these songs that'll be very fond to look back on for a long time.
All right, Langhorne Slim, my guest. The new album is called Strawberry Mansion. Great to see you again.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me back, man.
So may the world might come and blow your house down. First a tornado, then a plague. Let us use our hands to help the poor. Let us utilize our mighty soul. You might be worried about the government.
That's going to do it for this soundcheck session. Watch the videos for these live performances at newsounds.org or the New Sounds YouTube channel. Thanks to our technical director, Irene Trudell, our producer, Karen Havlick, and our video editor, David McLean. I'm John Schaefer.